Okay, here we are, December 3rd, and we're in Words of Moroni, starting on verse 36. Steve, would you like to read that?
I would be glad to. 36. In addition to the sealed book of Moses, there is the record of the Acts of the three Nephites, written by Jonah, one of the sons of Nephi, who had been chosen by Jesus to be the chief disciple of the 12 whom he called. Also, there's a summary of the prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite, which were fulfilled among my people, written by Nephi, at the command of Jesus for the purpose of reminding the people of the covenant in the last days, before the coming of the Lord to his temple.
I want to ask, there's a lot of scriptures we could read about this verse. Do we want to go through them all? Is it necessary? It lengthens our time significantly. Go ahead, Steve.
I've glanced over this before we started because I missed the last meeting and I was trying to catch up with my thinking about that. It is my opinion and experience that Samuel the Lamanite's information in the Nemanja record is not only worthwhile, but I think probably going to shed some light for when that day comes, we get the rest of it. But the book that he has in there has some profound prophecies.
Interesting. Of course, we don't have a link to that here, but that'd be interesting to review.
Let's see. I don't have that in front of me. I could look up page numbers for you. Just send it out. Does everybody have a copy of that or a PDF or something? If not, I can send that out too.
I think so. That'd be great.
I keep hearing about it, but I
to the point where
don't actually know what it is.
So yeah.
What is it exactly?
Mark's saying he doesn't have a copy of it, so definitely send out that'd be great.
That record, and I'm sure others could explain it better than me, but it's a lengthy record and the travels of Haggith and his people northward. If you read the Book of Mormon, where back in about 52 BC, they traveled north. And both Moroni, Nephi, Samuel the Lamanite all have played a part in that record as well.
Wait, how did we get that?
I just happen to know what person's got that. I'll send you a PDF. The book's pretty big, and I don't think you need to buy a book to get access to all of it.
I think Mark was asking how we got that record. You might explain that a little bit.
Well, one, they created it, but Mike, maybe you want to talk to him about where that came from, the Mendenhall record or archive.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. In fact, I'm every 2 weeks, the translator of that record does a reading, and we're actually in the first book of Shemuel, which is Samuel. There's a first book and a second book of Samuel in that record, but
who's the translator?
his name is Philip Landis. He goes by Cloud Piler. Cloud Piler is the name, the new name he was given when he was called to translate this record. He's a descendant of Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce tribe. I don't know if you remember them. I studied Idaho history growing up in Idaho. We learned about the great Chief Joseph. And Chief Joseph is actually a descendant of, if you trace the line back, he goes all the way back to Moroni. Morhonaya is how he's called in that record. But yes, Samuel the Lamanite, just to give you kind of a cool, interesting tidbit, he is the grandson of Corianton and Isabel from the Book of Mormon. And he lived in the land northward, and the Lord called him to go to the land southward.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, I've got a link I could probably look it up and put it in the chat to a free PDF. It's a real version, but I don't know that it's authorized to be distributed. If you want to get the real record, the true, it's the source is on the Nemenha webpage. But like you said, Brother John, you don't need to pay for the book to get this record if you follow the link. So I've got both. I have the original record, which is called the Mentana Archives. Mentana being the place down in central Utah where the city of Mentana was, where the people lived for a long part of their history, maybe 600 or 700 years. They were in Mentana, which is modern day San Pete County, Utah. And there's a cave up on the West Mountain where all of these records were stored. And Philip Landis was called 20 years ago or so to help translate those. He wasn't the only translator. There was a council of Mayan elders who assisted in the translation, but he was kind of principal among the translators, and he's kind of compiled all of that. The record is huge. I mean, it's like 800 pages long. It's not a condensed version like what we have in the Book of Mormon. This is like people's journals and family history. And because Philip is a descendant of these people, he treats this record as his own sacred family history. And he's brought it forth to the world. He's published it. It first came out as the Mentana Archives, but now it's been renamed Ayat Kuyat Nemenha, which Ayat Kuyat in their language translates to the sacred records of the Nemenha people. So it is very interesting. We always, in chapter 63 of Alma, there's just three or four verses of this curious man named Haggith who built ships and went north. And that's kind of the last we hear about him. But
yeah,
the Nemenha record kind of is the other side of that story, because they obviously kept their records and they've now been brought forth.
Man, that looks cool.
Sorry. Yeah, John's got the book there.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, they don't teach you that in Sunday school, that's for sure.
Oh, that's right. Digging and searching is so important.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let me know if you can send me some resources. I'd like to look into that. And thank you.
That sounds good. Should we go on to verse 37? Bob, would you like to read that one?
I'm sorry, I'll pass if it's okay.
Fine. I can read it. Lastly, 1/3 of the record of the revelations of John, written by the three Nephites, for insomuch they saw these things revealed by an apostle of the Lord, whose name was John, when they were caught up and transfigured before the throne of God, were shown unto them all things unspeakable from the mysteries of heaven. But because of the commandment which they received in heaven to keep this knowledge sealed, they did not report it, because they ministered among all the inhabited earth, but recorded the things which they saw and heard to be revealed when at last these things start to occur again between the sons of men, when finally these things begin to occur again among the sons of men. Somebody want to explain that? What happened there? It seemed like not totally sure.
So to me, that's saying a third of the record of the revelations of John written by the three Nephites. Right in 3rd Nephi, we recall, I think it's chapter 28, they were caught up to heaven and heard unspeakable things, commanded not to write them. Essentially, they were shown the same thing that John the Revelator was shown, I presume. And they wrote their own account of that, but it was kept hidden from the children of men. And this is written on, I'm assuming it's the remaining 23 plates that Mauricio has yet to translate. I don't know that it's in the actual sealed portion that's large, I always think of that as the vision of the brother of Jared. But the remaining plates were supposed to get the prophecies of the Samuel the Lamanite that were summarized by Nephi, who was called by Jesus when he came, and then a third of the revelation of John written by the three Nephites. So, but that's not coming forth until the members of the church are ready to receive it. I think that's in the, at the beginning of this book, Mauricio makes that clear, that the remaining 23 plates, which contain these things, aren't going to come forth until a future time.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it's called the Revelations. It's one third of the record of the revelations of John, and yet it's not the revelations of John. It's the same thing that John saw, is, I guess, is what the rest of the verse is telling us.
Yeah, I think Nephi, son of Lehi, he was shown the same thing, but then the Lord told him not to write anymore because the assignment was given to John at a future date, you know, 600 years future to Nephi. John would write it. He would see the same thing, and it was his commission to write this. But I'm guessing that many people have been shown the same type of revelation throughout history.
Yeah. I wonder if Mauricio's seen the same thing. And Mauricio, if I understand correctly, actually translated all that second half in Portuguese. But then that was all erased off his computer. The serial stones worked for translating English and Portuguese. When he got to the second half, they stopped working on the English, but he could do the Portuguese. So he continued with the Portuguese and he got to the end. And then later that was erased from his computer. That's what Kelvin tells us about.
Does he still have the plates?
I doubt it. I may think they're being given back to Moroni.
Yeah, I think that was one of the questions I had asked him in the past, and it was one that he actually answered, and he sent a few pictures as well of him and two or three of the brethren, maybe the three witnesses, up in the mountains around a bonfire, and they were there to give the plates back to Moroni. So apparently at this point, they're in the care of Moroni again.
Okay.
Yeah, can I just comment there? I find it, that information is too heavy to carry. I don't want to know personally if Brother Mauricio has the plates or not, because like I said, it's information that we don't need to know, and we don't want to cause rumors, especially now that they're going, the church is moving down to Agudo. All we need is treasure seekers to come out to the refuge looking for those plates. And, at times Brother Mauricio has said if he has them or not, but it's been a long time. And so like I think we all acknowledge that we don't really know if he has them or not, unless he says that he has them or not. So if when we're asked that question, like, that's, to me, that's the best honest answer I can give. If I don't know, I say, well, I don't know. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Steve, would you like to read verse 38?
Be glad to. Before I do that, though, I would add one thing, that it gives clarity when you talk about that being transcribed in Portuguese and being taken away. When we read about the seer stones and the power and the will of God, that seems like that can work a number of different ways. You can take away those things that, so when you talk about the computer, and it being lost, and I say that with a smile on my face, because we're not in charge of any of this. And as a matter of fact, the point that's exciting right now is that the limiting thing we were waiting on was getting the United Order. Because until we did that, until we get that in a satisfactory place, then those other plates are not going to be translated. That was, am I not right about that, Bob? Isn't that what the limiting feature was about finishing the translation?
Well, I agree with your saying of, I think onto that is the hearts of the people to receive it, which is a principle that's all through the Bible. That's the line upon line, precept upon precept that the Lord talks about all the time. And Brother Mauricio made a statement, and I don't remember what setting, but he said he didn't know if he would translate the second part of the sealed book or Brother Samuel would.
Wow.
So now that statement could be changed. Circumstances change. So it might imply that if Brother Mauricio does not have sufficient time to do that before he leaves us, then it would fall to someone else. Currently, that person is Brother Samuel, but that could change because there's talk of the Lord raising up others to bring to the work. So.
I just realized something. Apparently, I'm out of line. Every man here has appeared.
Just sick and tired of shaving, Russell. Well, I'm still excited because we're set one day at a time, one step at a time. We're moving closer to fulfilling what we were told to do. And that is encouraging and exciting. And hopefully we will all be in a meeting one day with the rest of those revelations. Number 38.
Yes.
Lastly, it was left for me, Moroni, to make a record of the ancient inhabitants who were here on this earth, came before us, and who were dispersed in the course of the fall of that great tower. At the time when the Lord confounded the language of the people in the days of Nimrod, which are recorded in the record of the 24 plates found by the people of Limhi, among which I gathered apart with the plates that were selected by my father in relation to the record of this people, which I call the people of Jared, for how much I briefly summarized his history as the book of Ether, who had been the last Jaredite prophet who existed on the face of the earth.
So that's pretty much a summary of what is in the sealed plates, what we have and don't have. Well, I guess 39 continues that. Do you want to continue 39, Lisa?
Yeah. The other part, which regards the writings of the brother of Jared, which also appear in these 24 plates, selected by my father Mormon, had originally been made similarly to Nephite writing, in which one can read more than one word per character, which allows to occupy the full place of the plates, however, made according to the Jaredite writing. It was then that I, Moroni, compiled the remainder of these plates in Nephite writing, using them to transcribe the rest of the report in this same pattern. The Lord commanded it to be clustered to the sealed records of my father. However, I did it with a mixture of letters, both Nephite and Jaredite.
I guess there's two things that kind of blow my mind there. One is that you can get multiple words out of a single mark on the sealed plates. And what little bit we've seen of those marks, it doesn't seem like that would carry a lot of information, but then also, it's both Nephite and Jaredite letters. This is a complicated system to read unless you've got a Urim and Thummim, looks like.
So I've been going on like a little hunt and I don't know if anybody else have been doing it, but do we have anything about like Reformed Egyptian or anything like that to compare it to? Like, do we have any similar markings in anything else that we found?
Not that I know of.
I was just curious because I couldn't find anything either. So,
and the wise man could not read. Can't help but to believe that's playing a role in keeping these records secret and private for his own wise purpose. Because I've looked too and tried to understand, and maybe I could find a niche or some group somewhere that still use something like that, and I never could find anything.
Okay.
It's interesting. I've got it right here in the Nemenha record. Nephi, who was, I believe, Nephi the son of Helaman, but was the father of Nephi, whom Christ called as his disciple when he came. He actually lived out his days in exile up in Mentana. And he, if you don't mind, I could read this verse, talks about the Jaredite writing, sure. How he found it was a curious thing. He said, "Behold, Nephi did live out the rest of his life in exile in the land of Mentana, and we did esteem him as one of us, and he did teach us many things that did clarify our worship. He also did spend much time in the vaults and the tombs up in the mountains, for he esteemed the plates deposited there to be of great value and importance for our people, but also for those who would inhabit the land in futurity. Wherefore, he did spend the last 3 years of his life putting in order the record of the Jaredites and also of the Nemenha. Now, Nephi discovered a curious thing with regard to the writings of the Jaredites, that it was not at all after the writing of the Nephi. For whereas the written figure for the spoken word man is always some variation of the shape of a man, thus it is rendered," and then it has an image of that, you know, what it was. "It is rendered such in some Nephi writing and this way in others, and yet a third way in others. The Jaredite word is written according to the sounds uttered rather than the image of the thing. Therefore, Nemenha, or the people, or followers of the Spirit, is rendered as," and then it has like four different marks, "with the vocal sounds either preceding or following. Thus is the Jaredite writing of the word spoken in our language. But the Nephite writing of Zarahemla of our time is written," and that shows another character, "the Lord's people, or the people of the altar. The Jaredite manner of writing Nephi discovered requires more space, but is less easily confused, for it can also be used as God's people, and so can this figure." It's hard to see. It has all the figures here, so you have to almost see it. And I can send a link to this, but it's basically saying that it's done by the sound of it rather than by the image of it. So that just kind of provides a little clarification of what Moroni is saying here, right? You can read more than one word per character and allows to occupy the full space of the plates according to the Jaredite writing.
But that's what we do in our language. Like, that's according to pronunciation, not the imagery of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. Wow. Anyway.
That's fascinating.
Okay, Donna,
I guess that's kind of like the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians, where they took that from.
Well, that's the question. We always assume hieroglyphics were a symbol representing a thought, and then the Rosetta Stone pointed out that it actually was a sounds. The glyphs are sounds, and then they were able to translate the hieroglyphics. But before that, we just thought they were all symbols for like a man and so forth, like the Jaredite. Like the Nephite.
Fight. Ignorance is rough.
Okay, Darla, do you want to read the next verse?
40. "So I did according to what the Lord showed me. to remain some symbologies of his holy and sacred order among all the writings of this book, that in the latter days of times will serve as signs to understand the power of that faith that I, Moroni, would like to show the world, but which will only be possible according to the degrees of heaven, to be revealed only after the coming of Christ is in his temple, when finally men exercise their faith equal to that of the brother of Jared.
Why don't you go ahead and read 41 also?
Notwithstanding, although the writing of this record, which bears the name of the brother of Jared, being the book of Morion Kumer, should remain sealed, together with the rest of the revelations of John in the sight of the seer, when these things begin to occur, after the first seals are opened.
Okay, that, have the first seals been opened yet?
Some seals had to be opened for Mauricio to translate what he has. That's what we're reading from.
And so is this the first seal of the seven seals that are going to be opened? That the book of Revelation talks about? It's the same group of seals? That's my question.
I know John had an answer for that, but I don't remember it at all. Okay. Because that was a big thing that many people squabbled over, is that the scriptures say that the book will remain sealed until Christ appears in his temple, but it doesn't. And John always said, but that doesn't mean all of the pages will be sealed. These were allowed to be opened for our purpose at this time, but when Christ comes in his temple, he will open up this portion. And there is an exact number of pages that John would recite, but I don't recall those. It may be on the recordings that John did with Jeannie years prior.
Well, the plates have two pins in them, and that part after the picture of Zion descending from heaven is still sealed, and it won't be unsealed, from my understanding, until Christ comes. There are plates that are open that were unsealed with the first section that have not been translated. Now, I don't know how to go from Revelation's number of sealed books or seals, or if it even relates to that, but we have stuff that's unsealed that hasn't been translated for us yet.
Yeah, I might say that the Apostle Tyler Kroll, you may invite to this group. I thought he attended this group occasionally. That he has spent more time with the plates than probably most of the witnesses, and he understands, I think, about the seals, about the pins that go through the plates, and which ones are open and which ones aren't. So he explained to me, he was telling me about the, I said I couldn't remember whether the writing was on both sides of the plates or not, and it is, it's on both sides. And some of the plates are thicker than others. The Book of Mormon plates apparently are, well, see, I don't remember. One set are thicker, feels thicker than the others. Some, the writing, you can tell, actually bleeds through to the other side, or the impressions. And some of the other writings do not. In fact, Mauricio was saying that they tried to experiment with a piece of tin of how you could make imprints on one side, not go through to the other side. But there's parts of these plates that happens to. And so the technology that was used, or the methods that were used to, that Mormon Moroni used to make the plates. They're not sure how they did it, you know, when there's writing on both sides. And so I found it fascinating for Brother Tyler just to kind of tell me just in a casual conversation. And I asked him if he could write it up for us or to put it on a recording, but I haven't seen that yet. But perhaps if you invite him to this group to talk about it, it might help everyone that comes after us. But we could at least record what he says and sure, and keep that for those that follow. But the plates are not all the same, of course, and he seems to have a better understanding of which ones how the plates differ and the pins. So
very interesting. Let me just share John's comments. I'll read them. The claim of the sealed Book of Mormon that the sealed portion of the plates of Mormon have two subsections has met with considerable opposition by those who have believed that those plates were a single unit to be opened only by the Savior when he returns. The purpose of this article is to point out that the more careful reading of the Book of Mormon itself suggests that indeed it implies that the sealed portion has two parts. One to be revealed about the time in which the book of Revelation begins to be fulfilled as a sign for the covenant people to repent and heed a second invitation to come into Christ. And two, the last much larger portion of the sealed place to be revealed only when the Savior returns. It's also suggested that the Book of Mormon may actually predict that when the first part of the sealed place come forth, that there will also be three main witnesses to testify along with the several others who shall aid in the work, even according to the same pattern that was used when the Book of Mormon first came forth. It was noted that it would explicitly state in the sealed book that there would indeed be two such sets of witnesses. Finally, comparison was suggested between the last part of the sealed section and the Book of Seven Seals mentioned in the biblical Book of Revelation. In the Book of Mormon, the only similarity is that both contain a comprehensive history of the 7,000 years of Adam's family, but the sealed book supports the conjecture that the two are related, but explicitly stating that the latter sealed section has seven seals, that only the Lamb of God is worthy to open it. Thus, it is concluded that it's much easier to believe that the sealed Book of Mormon is authentic than to believe that some hoaxers would have known these subtleties of Book of Mormon better than any scholar of the last two centuries, in order to have all these details match perfectly. In other words, no one else, to my knowledge, has ever noticed that the Book of Mormon itself implies the Plates of Mormon must have three parts to be published in three different eras. Could some hoaxers have really been smarter than all previous Book of Mormon scholars? It truly appears to be the work of God. So, I don't know if that fully encapsulates what Carla was suggesting that John tells us. I think it partially does.
Thank you for pulling that up. That was awesome.
Yeah, there were a few differences on the plates. Some of the engravings seemed to be with a lighter hand and others with a more firm touch. In fact, the first two or three pages or plates looked like they had the letters brought up by being dyed or stained. And I think that was mentioned. Joseph Smith had done that, trying to see them better. And then there was the mark of his ring on the edge of the page, and you all have seen that picture too. But you could tell when you look through those that were unsealed that some of them were done with a more light hand, and not all the pages were, you know, you think gold, you bend that and it's going to stay that way. But this was a grade of, in that day and time, according to John Pratt, the 18 karat was a lot more stiff, and that's about what the equivalent of that was with this mixture. But there were differences, and you could see from the other side in some of them, you know, not clearly, but little bumps and little ridges where the other side had been engraved through. But you could tell it, whoever did that was completely committed to trying to do it perfectly, because you don't get an eraser with that. Think about it. There's no I got to start over. Well, now I don't know. Maybe they did. Well, that would have really added a lot of work to it.
Well, I think there are some places in the Book of Mormon that indicate that this was written, and then a section a few words later. So, but this, kind of like that there's almost as if there was a erasure, but it just added to instead because they couldn't erase. I think I've got it marked in one of my Book of Mormons. So we've got four verses left in this Words of Moroni. I think I'd like to finish that up for today. And Michael, would you like to read a couple of those, 42 and 43?
Yeah. Being that among these few things that will be drawn from the first sealed set, before being every book put together in a later period of time, will be sufficient to awaken the faith in the followers of Christ who will proceed from this great and marvelous work that will take place when these things begin to take place among the covenant people in the fullness of times, that the Lord may stretch forth his hand for the last time, that he may redeem his people that are of the. It will happen then that the Book of Mormon will be, as prophesied by the prophets, opened in three periods of time, to begin with the arrival of the time of the end, when then the prince of darkness was ruling the earth in those days, but will have no power over this land of promise, so that there will be on this earth the opening of the first determined time, and a light shine in the darkness forever upon the sons of men. From there on, many will seek true knowledge. That reminds me, in verse 43, that's Joseph Smith, right? That the first period is the arrival of the time of the end, when the prince of darkness was ruling the earth in those days. Isn't there a verse in the Doctrine and Covenants that refers to the to that very same thing? I have to look.
Yeah, there's talking about Prince ruling on the waters. That may be what you're talking about. I can't remember.
Right. But this, in verse 42, it talks about every book will be put together in a later period of time. I think we mentioned that on the last meeting, that eventually, you know, from Lehi all the way to the end of the vision of the brother of Jared, that whole record will be compiled into one single book that's probably going to be 2,000 pages long or more. Who knows? It's going to be a big record when it's all said and done.
It's interesting that although the Prince of Darkness was ruling during the Joseph's day, but would have no power over this land of promise. And I think that's, if we look at just, I think we're talking about U.S. history. There was a nice period back then compared to today. The Prince of Darkness is ruling better today than he was then.
Yeah.
Bob, would you like to read? You get your mic.
Yes, I can.
You want to read those 44 and 45?
Okay. And having passed 1,290 days since the continual sacrifice was removed before the altar, then as regards the remnant of darkness, a light from distant lands will shine from afar on the holy people of God with the opening of the first seal, and a period of appointed times will begin when many will be cleansed and whitened and approved, but the wicked will certainly continue to act wickedly, and none of them will understand, but the insightful will understand. Blessed are those who will remain faithful until the arrival of the 1,335 days when the third and last book is opened by our Lord and our advocate together, the Father, yea, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Does anybody know what we're talking about on these days?
I have written in the footnote, compare Daniel chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, where you've got the 1290 and the 1335, 1,290 days. I think those are correlated to years, if I'm not mistaken. I think John Pratt even wrote about this probably in one of his articles. You've got the 1290 days is equivalent to 1290 years. And then 45 years after that, the 1335 year. So does that mean in verse 44, which is referring to, I believe, Mauricio, he gets the first seal. This is the second period of time that Mauricio opens the plates. And then 45 years after that, we get the third, when the Lord himself will open the vision of the brother of Jared in his temple in Zion. I don't know. That's kind of how I see it, but I don't know if we're that close, if it's only 45 years after Mauricio. When did he publish the first set? In 2019? Is that the 1290th year?
Is it the publishing of it, or is it the receiving it? There was in 2007, his first revelation. I don't know when he got the plates, though. Was it 10 years after that, 2017, that he actually got the plates? I think so.
Thank you.
So 2017, and 45 years seems too long. I keep going back to the Toltec calendar of 2039, which would only be 22 years later as the time for Christ to come. And I don't know that this world can last much more than that length of time. We're getting close to Armageddon and the other events that are set for these latter days.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've tried to figure it out and do the math, but I come up with a whole bunch of different conclusions. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know that any of us know.
No.
I've heard Brother Mauricio talk about it. So I would suggest perhaps you invite him to explain this. His understanding is far superior, I think, than most people.
That would be great.
You're here.
Should we read that? I can read the Daniel chapter 12 real quick.
If you're
okay with that. Let me pull it up here. Daniel chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1340. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1305 and 30 days. But go thou thy will till the end be, for thou shalt rest and by thy lot at the end of the days. So that's again where we get those two numbers, the 1290 and the 1335, which are separated by 45 days or units, years, whatever. I think that's what it's referring back to, even though the footnote, I would think there'd be a footnote to Daniel. Maybe that was accidentally left out. I don't know. But regardless, I think that's what it's referring to.
Yeah. All right. Should we stop the recording?